That brings to mind the intent is that we are living by faith and we're trusting in the Lord. And that being the case, then we will never be short or do without. He has definitely promised. But it takes that faith, that believing and trusting in Him, in order for that to be true. We have an enemy. He's the enemy of God. He's the enemy of mankind. And he's in particular the enemy of the Lord's churches and the Lord's people that are truly striving to worship and serve Him according to the Scripture. And we find in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I point this out, that he's not trying to devour those that are out here living on the streets or those that are doping it up or drinking and carousing and doing other things that they do. He's not seeking to devour them because he's got them under his control and his influence anyway. But he's seeking to devour those that are standing true to the Lord and striving to live their lives by faith according to the Word of God, and to give Him, especially those that are striving to give Him honor and glory. First of all, need to understand, the devil is real. The devil is real. He had his beginning as an angel of light. Look at Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, verse number 15. It says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways." By the way, his name was Lucifer. He was that most beautiful angel that God created. And it says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." In other words, he was the most beautiful, and he was also a sinlessly perfect individual until iniquity crept in, and the devil became evil and fell because of pride. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 13. It says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will set also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High." He was the most beautiful angel of God's creation, and that beauty and stuff lifted him up in pride, and he determined that he was going to raise up and going to overthrow and take God's place. Of course, we know that didn't happen or didn't take place. Now, first of all, we're going to get a description of the devil. And in John chapter 8 and verse 44, it tells us what kind of an individual that he was or is. It says, "Ye are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he is called a liar. He's called an accuser. Look at Revelation 12 and verse number 10. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. The Bible says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And then in verse 9, he's also called a deceiver. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent that was there in the Garden of Eden, by the way, the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out unto the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And so he is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He is the god of this world. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." He is a liar, he is an accuser, he's a deceiver, and he is, however, the god of this world. And what does that tell you? That means he controls all of this worldly, sinful condition that this world is in. What do you mean? His influence with man, his putting temptation, him drawing individuals, he's taking toward destruction is exactly what they're doing. And listen, he's going to and fro on the earth, seeking whom he may devour. Again, his main object is God's faithful people, members of Scriptural New Testament Church, trying to worship, serve the Lord, and give him honor and glory. So if you don't think he has power, if you don't think he has position, if you don't think he has influence, he is in control of this world. That's why we hear about men of stature out here doing the most abominable things. That's why we have the leaders of this world and of our nation lying and cheating and stealing and covering up and so forth and so on. Satan is behind it all. He's controlling them, and they're not aware of it. They don't even know. They think that they're doing it on their own. But as the god of this world, he has the power to sway and persuade. He is the prince of power. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 2. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Look at that. We just mentioned that he was in control, that his spirit works in those out here in the world. He's the god of this world. And bless your heart, he has demon spirits, his fallen angels that were taken with him. And so they work in the children of disobedience. Who's behind it? The devil himself. That's who's behind it. Man wants to take the credit. It's man's fault because he lets the devil deceive, persuade, and tempt and use him. But it doesn't originate with man. Satan is involved in it as well. That by that spirit that works in them. He is also, in 1 John 2:13, he's called the wicked one. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 13 says, "I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one." Have overcome. Well, you know what? Ephesians over there tells us that in time past, we were in this condition. Before we got saved, If you'd have told me that, I'd have thrown a fit. But now that I know the truth and are able by the grace of God through the Spirit that dwells within me, I can understand and I can see where a lot of that I was drawn and brought about by the influence of Satan and his demon spirit. I didn't say that they work in mankind. God did. He ought to know. This is not my idea. It's right here. All we have to do is put it together or let it come together. And so, at any rate, we find that he is a liar, he's an accuser, he's a deceiver, he's a god of this world, he's a prince of power, he's a tempter, and he's the wicked one. And he targets, or actually the targets of the devil are the Lord's church. How? Try to corrupt her. Try to destroy her influence. Sow disunity among the brethren. Fight her outreach and evangelistic work. Destroy her doctrinal purity in spite of what Jude 3 admonishes. Jude verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." The faith, the saints. By the way, brethren, right here's a verse that nails down church members are saints. Wherever you find these saints in the New Testament, the saints of the New Testament are New Testament church members, not the saved, not the family of God, but church members. 1 Corinthians 1 tells us that he called us to be saints. Who's he talking to? The church of Corinth. He said, "Church, you've been called to be saints." How? They were called out of the family of God to be saints in a New Testament church. And so, we're to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Satan fights and tries to destroy the doctrinal purity of the Lord's New Testament churches. And by the way, folks, this thing just creeps in a little bit at a time. And Wednesday night, unless the Lord changes my mind, I'm going to take a quarterly and we're going to find out some things. And I'm going to show you how that subtly false doctrine and false teaching creep into the Lord's churches. Yeah. We got some stuff in Sunday school quarterlies, brother. It's plain heresy. It's supporting heresy. We might want to take extra thought about handing them out the way things are going. All right. He targets the Lord's churches. He targets ministers with discouragement, with discrediting their testimony, and encourages them to be so busy they can't do the work of the Lord and reach out and reach others. Not only that, but he works well at getting preachers to be upset and offended if the church won't follow them on every whim that they come up with or that they have. And they get discouraged, and the next thing you know, why, they're ready to take off and go someplace else and do something different. Brother, Satan is behind it. He's after God's preachers who stand for truth and contend for the faith. He's after the Lord's churches. That's those he's seeking whom he may devour. Because they're in the Lord's work. They are not. This people out here in the world are in his, doing his work and his bidding. They're submitted to him using them the same way that we, when we submit to the New Testament church membership, to be used of the Lord. the Lord's children. Give them excuses for not obeying Christ and following in scriptural baptism. Make them think that they're unable to tithe. Make them think that they cannot witness. I used to hear man-fearing spirit a lot. Man-fearing spirit. We need to fear God more than we fear man. And we need to open our mouth and we need to start preaching the gospel of Christ. We should need to start presenting the word of God. We need to start standing against in a loving and earnest manner the ungodliness and reprobatism of this world. He makes God's people doubt their salvation. Question their salvation. He makes some of the faithful even question what the Bible teaches. Question the doctrines that we stand for and contend for. He's got that ability. He can do that. And when a thought like that enters your mind and your heart, remember, it's Satan presenting it to you, trying to draw you away, take you away from your stand. How do we deal with Satan? We make no deals with the devil. The reason many have no opposition from the devil is because they meet on his terms. They meet his terms. Need to resist the devil. Look at James 4 and verse number 7. James 4th chapter. And verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now what's that saying? We need to get close to God and then resist the devil. Well, I can handle it on my own. No, we can't. We have to have God's help and him strengthening us in that inward man in order to overcome these things. This verse bears it out. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to give no place to the devil. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 27, Ephesians 4 and 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Those thoughts, those doubts, those questions, give no place. Resist him, he'll flee. But first we draw nigh unto God and then resist him and he will flee. Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8. 1 John 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In other words, he came that he might take mankind and take us out of the influence and the power of the devil and bring us under the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. He can destroy the works of the devil in the unsaved only when a person hears his word. Look at John chapter 5 and verse number 24. John chapter 5. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. They need to hear the word. They need to believe in Jesus Christ, Acts 16 and verse number 11. Acts chapter 16 and verse 11. Verse 31, rather, says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You say, well, where's repentance? He was already repenting. He had turned and he came seeking help from them. He had turned seeking help from Jesus Christ, depending on them to point them to Christ. He was already repenting. And then what they tell him? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in Christ. Receive him as Savior. And then surrender to God's will. Matthew chapter 11. Verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Listen, it's hard to serve the Lord. I've heard that time and time again. It is not hard to serve the Lord. It's hard to fight against the Lord and the convicting and drawing of the Holy Spirit. That's hard because that's misery that never goes away. That's misery that you never get any rest from. Now, the hardship that might come by you serving the Lord and putting him first, after all, the Bible says that the godly shall suffer persecution. That just happens from time to time. But listen, striving against God is continual conviction, continual misery, continually being burdened down, continually being robbed of the joy of salvation or any enjoyment of life. So we need to come unto him. We need to take his yoke because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. You know what? Lost people need to come out from the control of Satan, the god of this world, and come under the control of the god of this universe, the god of eternity, and submit to him. It's easier to do that than it is to fight against him. Let's stand. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, come, repent of your sins, and by faith trust him. If you're here and you're saved, you're being robbed of the joy of your salvation, you need to come. Look to Jesus. He said, if we'll confess, he's faithful and just, forgive and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And there is no sin that he cannot cleanse us of. There's no sin that he cannot take away. There's no sin or condition of sin bringing misery in our life that he can't bring us joy. What should we sing, brother?